おはようございます。
おはようございます。
今週の、1日に朝早く13人がここで集まって一緒に賛美したり言葉を聞いたり、一緒にこの教会のためにまたこの新年のために祈りを捧げた兄弟姉妹がいらっしゃって、まあ、その人たちに新年の挨拶ができたが、他の皆様はまだできてないから明けましておめでとうございます。今週もよろしくお願いします。So, at 6 a.m., woo, it was early. The sun was not even up. 13 of us gathered here to read scripture and to sing and to pray for this church and to pray for the new year and to ask for God's guidance and God's blessing. And we're thankful for that. But for those of you that I didn't get to greet, I want to say Happy New Year to you and pray that together we will walk with Christ in this new year. And you will be blessed. まあ、去年から始まったのが、私たち教会として、教会のカレンダーに一緒に進んでいて、まあ、こういうふうに礼拝と私たちの教会生活を中心にやってみようと決めました。でなぜそれをやってるのかというと、まあ、今まではそうやったことないから、まあ、簡単に説明すると、私たちが私たちの人生、また教会としての礼拝、教会生活を何かに中心すること、何かに中心しなければならない。で、私たちはイエスの弟子たちなので、できるだけイエスの人生、生まれてから、これからまたこの世に来るまでのその話を繰り返して繰り返して、それを中心にして私たちの礼拝、私たちの生活もそこに中心したいと思いますので、今はもうクリスマスの時期が変わっていて、今朝からは方言節という季節です。方言節、方言節って何だろうな。方言節は12日間のクリスマスを祝って、それが終わったら方言節の日がいつも毎年、曜日と関係なく1月6日にあります。で、1月6日にからまた何週間をかけて、イエス様が実際に神であることを表しています。神様、お父さん、お父様の神様もイエス様自身も自分が実際に神であることを表しています。またこの世を救うために自分を表しています。なので方言節という季節があります。で、それぞれの季節にも色、それぞれの色もついてます。なので高原節はこの日だけ、6日の日は、金色で、それ以外は緑の色で、なぜ 金色が高原節の日なんだというと、その博士たちがイエス様にその豊かな、王様らしい、贈り物を出します。金とか乳香と、もつ薬をイエス様の身元に持っていきますので、この日は金色で、それ以外は緑の色。なぜかというと、その新しい人生が始まりました、イエスによって。またペンテコステが終わったらまた緑の色が戻ってきます。で、それは弟子としての新しい命、なので新しい命は緑の色が、代表的になって、もう来週から、これが全部緑になります。じゃあまた英語で説明します。 Recently, as a church, you may have noticed that we have been making a shift towards the church calendar and going through the church seasons. And because we haven't done that in the past, I just want to give a very, very simple explanation as to what that is and why, the reason behind why we're trying to do this as a church. We as a people and we as a church must always center our lives around something. We can choose to center it around the Gregorian calendar. We can choose to center it around national holidays. We can center it around what's going on in our personal lives. We all choose to center our lives around something. But as the disciples of Jesus, our goal, our desire is to center our lives on Jesus, on his life, his birth, his life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, and coming back again. And that's what the church calendar is purposed for, is to continually retell the story of Jesus over and over again, and to center our worship and our lives as a church around the life of Christ. And so we thought, let's try this as a church. Let's see if this can help us to bring our thoughts closer to Christ, our Savior and our Master. So that's why we're trying to do that. And beginning today, today is the day of Epiphany. In the church calendar, there are 12 days of Christmas that are celebrated. It starts on December 25th and goes until January 5th. And then January 6th, regardless of what day of the week it is, January 6th is always Day of Epiphany. And you can see here, I've got the definition up there. The season of Epiphany stretches over a few weeks. And the season of Epiphany is God revealing Christ as God. He's showing the world that Jesus is truly God, and showing that Jesus is the one who's been sent by God to save the world, to bring salvation to the world. So that's what this church season, when you hear Epiphany, you can know that it's a revealing. And each season has a color. For Epiphany, the day of Epiphany itself is gold, which is why you can see we have the gold color that continues from Christmas through till today. And the reason why the day of Epiphany is the color gold is because it starts with the story of the wise men bringing the kingly gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so that representation is the color of gold. Beginning next week, you'll see everything is green. And the rest of the season of Epiphany, and again, after Pentecost, up until Advent, again, the color is green. And green always represents the idea of new life. So in this season of Epiphany, it's Jesus beginning his new life, beginning his ministry, the hope that we have in that new life. And then after Pentecost, it's us as the disciples having a new life, and we start our new life as well. なのであのこれから、何週間にかけてこの高原節を祝います。で、これを教会として、これを築きたいと思っています。毎週毎週聖餐式の聖書朗読、また、最初に、唱詩とその祈りで、最後の祈りも全部、この箇所に関するこのイエス様が現れていることを一緒に集中したいと思いますので、その説教がまた別の話をしていても、私たちの礼拝全体的にが、こういうふうにやります。で、来週は、イエスのバプテスマ、その日に、神様自身がこれは私の御子と自分の声が出していて伝えています。なので来週はそのバプテスマで、毎週また別の話が出てくる。今週、今朝は、その博士の話で、来週はイエスのバプテスマで、幸いなことで、来週私たちがバプテスマを祝います。 クリステン・ハナオカさんが、来週バプテスマを水戸教会で受けたいと決心して、なので、イエスのバプテスマを祝う時にも、クリステンのバプテスマも一緒に、祝いたいと思います。So over the next few weeks, we will be going through, you can see up here on the screen, I've listed some of them, but it's a different story. Starting today, all the different ways that Jesus is shown in Scripture as being who he is. It starts with the wise men, because the wise men recognize him as God and recognize him as King. And they bring their gifts and they bow down and they worship him. Next week is Jesus' baptism. The story of Jesus' baptism. And when Jesus is baptized, God himself speaks out loud from heaven and says, "This is my son." So every week, I want you to begin to become aware, to be watching the words that we speak in our call to worship, in our opening prayer, in the scriptures that are read for communion. Because we want to bring together all of these things in our worship. And be focusing on that. So next week will be, if you notice this week, it was all about the wise men. Next week will be all about Jesus' baptism. And something that I want to share with all of you to be looking forward to next week is that Kristen Hanoka has decided that she wants to be baptized here. And so next week when we celebrate Jesus' baptism, we're also going to celebrate as a church her baptism together. So let's be praying for her this week and get ready to celebrate with her. So listen. で、2月、10日までは、この講演節が、続きます。まあ、簡単に言うと。So, just very briefly, I don't want to talk very much more about it, but Epiphany will continue through February 10th. And then from there we'll move into the season of Lent, which is the time leading up to the Easter story. 今朝は、マタイによる福音書2章1節から12節、ぜひ聖書を開いて、で今朝この箇所から説教したいと思います。この話は、クリスマスを考えたら結構有名な話なんですけど、不思議なことはこの話はその4つの福音書の中でこのマタイの福音書だけに書いてあります。もう最初に書いてあります。2章の1節から12節、この話がテーマとして考えたら王様というテーマがあります。いろんな王様がこの話に出てきます。で今朝それをちょっと、皆さんに、シェアしたいし、また実際にどういうふうに私たちの人生に、またこの新しい1年間2013年に私たちの信仰生活でどういうふうに関わればいいかということを一緒に考えたいと思います。This morning we're going to be speaking about, we're going to be looking at the story of the wise men in Matthew chapter 2. And we usually think of this because we don't really know what Epiphany is. We don't think of it as an Epiphany story, we think of it as a Christmas story. But it's one of the famous stories. And actually when I began looking at paintings and pictures, there was almost more paintings and pictures of this story than of Jesus' birth. It was pretty interesting. So this is a well-loved story. However, it's interesting to note that this story is only written, is only recorded in one of the four Gospels. It's only written in the Gospel of Matthew. The theme of this story is the theme of kings. There are a lot of different kings, kings who come out in this story. And so, what do kings have to do with us? And how does this change our faith life? And how do we apply this to 2013? Those are the things that I'd like us to think about and talk about today. ヘルレオはとってもひどい王様だった。この人はね、自分の子供たちを殺した。自分を守るために、自分がずっと王様として生きていくために、自分の子供たちも自分の奥様も自分の別の親戚も殺しました。で、この王様がいた間にイエス様が生まれた。ヘロデは、BC74 年から4年まで生きていて、特に、40年から王様になって、でずっと亡くなるまでは王様だったが、少なくても10人の奥様がいて、少なくても14人の子供がいて、でもそれ以上はいたはずと書いてあります。でも歴史的に知ってる子供たちで14人がいていて、ほとんどは息子さんでも、残念ながらその息子さんをほとんど殺しました。で、この王様を一つの言葉に表現したら、恐怖という言葉が出てきます。彼はとても力持ちの王様が、結構恐怖を持てた王様で、今朝の話を見たら例えば3節を見ていて、それを聞いてヘロデ王は恐れ惑った。エルサレム中の人も王と同様であった。なぜかというと、もしかしたら何人が殺されるから。また7節、そこでヘロデは密かに博士たちを呼んで、彼らから孤子の祝言の時間を突き止めた。で、その後博士たちと話して、今日の話の後に13節から18節までを見ていただければ、特に16節から見ますね。その後ヘロデは博士たちが騙されたことが分かると非常に怒って、人をやってベツレヘムとその近辺の2歳以下の男の子を一人の残らず殺させた。その年齢は博士たちから突き止めておいた時間から割り出したのである。別の王様が生まれて、もしかしたら自分がまた王様として続けられないので、男の子全員2歳以下を殺されました。 The first king that we're introduced to is King Herod, and he was an awful king. It's interesting because in the history books he's called Herod the Great, but actually he was Herod the Awful. There wasn't anything that was very great about him. He had a lot of power, which is why he was called Herod the Great. He built a lot of things and accomplished a lot of things, which is why he was called Herod the Great. But he actually should have been called Herod the Fearful, because fear is the most apt word to describe this man. He was born in B.C. 74 and lived till the year B.C. 4. Of course, our calendar is off. Jesus was born in that time, so we're a few years off here. But we know that he lived from 74 to 4 B.C. He was known to have a minimum of 10 wives, and history knows that he had at least 14 children. But they said it was almost certain that he had several more on the side that nobody knew about. He had 14 children, but most of them never survived because he kept killing off his sons because he was afraid that they were going to take over as king. This man hungered. He lusted for power, and he wanted to be king. So when he heard that another king was born in Jerusalem, he freaked out. Look at verse 3. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. This is the first time I realized that Jerusalem was also disturbed. Why was Jerusalem disturbed? Probably because they were afraid that their own king was going to kill them within his anger and his fear. Look again at verse 7. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." And then go down to verse 13, from 13 through verse 18, especially starting at verse 16. I'll read from 16. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and in its vicinity that were 2 years and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. He ordered that every male child 2 years and under be killed because he was afraid that one of them might become king instead of him. Every male child born within 2 years completely wiped out in that region just because he wanted to keep his power. He wasn't Herod the Great, he was Herod the Awful.
イスラエルの立派な王様で、ダビデの町でその新しい王様ユダヤの王様が生まれになるという予言があって、なのでその星、その星にはイエス様、その新しいユダヤの王様だけじゃなくてこの世の救い主王様を表しています。で、ヨハネの黙示録22章の16節を読むと、イエス様がその明るい明星と呼ばれています。なのでこの星と、イエス様、またイエス様の先祖のダビデを表しています。また2つの王様が、王様が生まれた時に星で現れている他の王様が来たことないのです。なのでこの世界に一番重要な王様、歴史にかけて今までも一番重要な王様がこの王様だと思っています。 So then we are introduced to the star, and the star introduces us to two more kings. One king is a king of the Old Testament, that's King David. And that star led the people to the city of David, where David himself was born, because David's descendant, who would also become king, was to be born there. And that king, of course, is Jesus. I don't know of any other story in the world where a king is shown by a star, except for this story. And the stars, of course, are in the heavens. So all of the cultures thought about the greatness. They thought about the greatness in two areas: the stars, the heavens, and the deep, the sea. But the deep, the sea, usually represented evil. And the stars, the heavens, usually represented good. The heavens themselves declare this king, Jesus, is born. And if you look at Revelation 22, verse 16, Jesus is refers to himself as, "I am the bright morning star." So you can link that passage with this story in Matthew 2. The star leads to the leads to the king, and then Jesus himself says, I am the star. I am the bright morning star. それから博士または王様、それぞれの王様が、イエス様のもとに来て、拝みました。でそれはあの今日の話の中で、まあ、何人かがいるかなわからないので、まあ、とりあえず2人以上がいて、西洋の話ではもしかしたら3人だった。なぜかというと3つの贈り物があった。ある東洋の話では、それは12人、まあ、12イスラエルの12部族もあったし、12弟子たちもいたから、もしかしたらその王様、その博士たちは12人、まあ、結局聖書には全然書いてないからそんなに大切ではないけど、何人かの王様がイエスの妹に来て、礼拝しました。でイザヤ、今朝その生死で読んだ部分、また、祈りで読んだ部分、イザヤ書の、60章、また詩編72編に、その王様という言葉が出てきて、それは、今日のマタイの遺書の予言となります。イザヤ60章、また詩編72章。So then we come to the wise men who were also kings. And the reason that we know that they were kings is because in Isaiah 60 and also in Psalm 72, those scriptures which we used in our call and we used in our prayer this morning identify these men. It's prophecy that these men, these kings will come down and that they will worship the true king, Jesus. So if you look at those scriptures on your own sometime, you can see that's written. We don't know how many there were. Western church tradition says that there were three, and they guess that because that there were three gifts. Some Eastern church traditions say that there were 12. And the only thing that I can get for why they randomly picked 12 was because there are 12 tribes of Israel, there were 12 disciples. And so going along with that theme, it was again a representation of that continuing the bridge from the Old Testament to the New Testament. In any case, there were two or more, okay, because it says wise men. So we know it's plural. We don't care how many. But we care that they came. We care that they came. they showed themselves to Jesus. They came and they worshiped. The other thing that I, for I'm saying Japanese, but I want to say in English, is most of the time, and I looked for pictures that didn't have Jesus in the manger. Most of the pictures have Jesus in the manger, and you see in the movies, and these men come up, and they bring their gifts to the baby. But if you look at some of the other verses, probably it was not after, just after Jesus was born. It was within a two-year period. That Jesus was born. We don't know exactly. あと注目したいこと、この博士たちに関するは、彼らは東方から来ていて、でも実際に東方はどこから来たのかは分からない。もしかしたらイエメン。でもイエメン人はというわけじゃなくて、でももしかしたらイエメンで集まって、そこからイスラエルの方に旅しましたかもしれないと言われています。また西洋の話では、その3人がいて、3人の名前も書いていて、1人はペルシア、もう1人はインド、もう1人は、アラビアから来たが、実際に聖書にも全然書いてないので私たちもわからない。よく映画とかでは一人のヨーロッパ人、一人のアフリカ人、一人の、アジア人が、その三人、が集まって、イエス様を拝みました。でなぜそれをやるのかというと、このテーマ、イエス様が世界中の 王様になって、なので世界中の方々が集まってイエス様の身元に行って礼拝しました。そういうことを表しています。でそれは実際にそうであることだと思います。だから彼らは外国人、ユダヤ人じゃなく、ユダヤの予言が分かってきたが、もともとユダヤ人、ユダヤ教に入った人たちではなく、外国人であり、他宗教の方々だったのが、イエス様が現れたことを腰で気づいて、イエス様の身元に来て拝みました。So the other thing that I want you to note、for the wise men is this, is that they were foreigners.、we don't know where they're from, we just know they were from the East.、a lot of scholars say they came from、Yemen. They were not necessarily Yemeni people,、but that's where they had been gathered, that's where they had been studying, and then they took the trip from there to Israel.A lot of the movies show、an African, an Asian, and a European. You know, a lot of church history says, oh, these are their three names, and they're from Persia, India, and Arabia. We have no idea, really. But the reason why the tradition tells that is because it's trying to show the truth that Jesus is the King of the world, and that he has come to save the whole world. And so the world's greatest people are all gatheringthey're coming to worship him. And that we know is biblical truth. So、that's kind of the representation. I'm just trying to show some of that. これは、基本的にも説明しましたが、なぜこれが重要なことだというと、マタイの福音書だけにこの話が書いてあります。マタイの福音書は誰のために書いてあるのか。マタイの福音書はイスラエル、ユダヤの人たちのために書いてあります。なので、他の福音書と比べたら、マタイの福音書は結構、旧約聖書からの予言、またイエス様自身の教えが書いてあります。またユダヤの文化、ユダヤ、イスラエルの歴史がそこに書いてある。で、イスラエル人がそれを読んで、あ、これは予言された、約束した王様、キリストがこのように来たわけ。だけど彼らが間違えたのは、その救いは彼らの人族だけのために来たと思いました。イスラエルだけを救うために来たの。 今でも彼らがそう信じています。でもマタイがもう最初の部分でもう最初からその人たちに、あなた方のためだけじゃなくて、マタイもイスラエルと私たちのためだけではなく、この世界全ての方のためにイエス様が現れている、イエス様がこのように来ていると伝えています。 Typically I told you most of the other things, but the one thing that I want you to really remember from today about this story is the significance that this story is written in Matthew's Gospel. Who was Matthew's Gospel written for? There's four Gospels,And all of them have a specific audience. Matthew's gospel is written specifically for the Jewish people, for the people of Israel and the people of the Jewish religion. So if you compare Matthew's gospel with the other gospels, Matthew's gospel highlights more of the Old Testament prophecy and Jesus' teaching, and highlights a lot of the culture.So for you and I, if we don't know anything about that culture, anything about that history, there's some things that are difficult for us to understand in Matthew's Gospel. But for the people of Israel to read that, that's the gospel that rings closest to their heart, that they can understand. So again, why is this significant? Because Matthew starts off his gospel letting them know that they made a mistake, because they believe that God's salvation, that the Christ was being born to save them. They were God's people. Somewhere along the way, they made a mistake and began to think salvation is only for us. And Matthew tells them right at the beginning, it's not just for you. This Christ that is coming, that has been prophesied, is for the whole world. And the whole world is gathering to recognize him as God, as King, and worship. また、最後にこれをちょっとだけ説明して、それから4つの質問を一緒に考えたいと思います。まあ、皆さんがこのスクリーンを見ていただけると、その博士たちが3つの贈り物を出した。よく考えると、この知らない子どもに、知らない場所にいて、このような立派な王様らしい贈り物をなぜ出したのか。で、この3つとも、まあ、私たちがそれは金であり、乳香であり、持つ役、まあ、その言葉が読んで分かるんだけど、その意味はその意味も肉体的な意味もあるし、霊体的な意味もあるし、実際にイエス様は神であることも表しています。なので、それもちょっと見てほしいと思います。 I'm not going to get into this a lot, but I'd like you to look at the screen while I'm explaining this and just look at here. It's kind of interesting. You have a child that nobody knows about being born in a barn to a young girl and her promised to be husband in the middle of nowhere town. And all of a sudden, these 3 or 12 or 25 or however many men come and they bring these incredibly majestic kingly gifts. And those of us in English grow up hearing the story and we have memorized the words. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We have no idea what that means, but we know it's gold, frankincense, and myrrh. If you look at it, each thing, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, have a physical meaning to what that gift implies. It also has a spiritual meaning to what that gift implies. But beyond that, it also tells us something about Jesus and about what's going to happen in his life. It shows him to be king. It shows him to be God. And it shows that he is going to die a gruesome death that will bring life. So remember Epiphany. Epiphany is showing that Jesus is who he is. And in these gifts, the wise men give us hints as to who Jesus is. その説明がいいんだけど、実際に私たちの日々生活にどういうつながりがあるのか。あのね、この礼拝が終わったら、帰ったら、じゃあ実際に私たちの信仰にどういうつながりがあるのか。ヘロデから一つの質問を聞きたいと思います。星からの質問も聞きたいと思います。博士たちからの質問を聞きたい。またその贈り物の質問から私たちの信仰生活にかける質問を一緒に考えたいと思います。So we're going to go through four different questions because all of that's a really nice explanation and great story. But really, what does that have to do with our life? when I leave here today, how is this impacting my faith? And so I'd like to ask us a question based on King Herod. I'd like to ask us a question based on the star. I'd like to ask us a question based on the wise men. And finally, a question based on the gifts that they bring.
Kiko to yutta yoni, Herode o wa kyofu de ugokashiteite. Watashi tachi mo kono yoni kyofu to tatakatte imasu. Ironna osore ga arimasu. 将来の恐れ、この一日の中での恐れ、ある人が私たちを受け入れるか受け入れないかという恐れ、みんなそれぞれの恐れがありますが、私たちイエス様の弟子たちとしてキリストにある平和を与える存在になる人間もあります。でも私たちがよく影響になるよりも影響されている時が多いのです。でどっちかというとその恐れによってその恐怖によって私たちが影響されています。この質問を、今年中自分の信仰生活でも教会としてもまたこの教会より外へ考えたら、この質問を、皆さんで、考えたいと思っています。
So please look at the question that is written here on the screen. Just as Herod was influenced by fear, so we are also influenced by fear. As the disciples of Christ, we are called to bring the peace of Christ into the world. We are called to influence. Unfortunately, I think a lot of times we are influenced more than we influence. Rather than bringing the peace in the midst of the insanity, we bring the insanity and the fear of the world into our hearts. The fear of the future. Am I going to have enough? Blah, 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 blah. Will I have accomplished blah, 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 blah before I die? That person accept me. Can I accept that person? So I'd like you to think about this. How is fear crippling you from becoming a person who shares the peace of Christ in this world?
2番目の質問、その奉仕が博士たちをイエス様まで導いてくれました。で、先ほど言ったようにイエス様が私たちの明星、私たちの奉仕、導いてくれている奉仕になります。なのでこの1年間で私たち一人一人、また教会全体、イエス様は私たちの導いている星としてどういうふうに導いているか、どのような人たちになってほしいか、ここへ誰にその奉仕をしてほしいのか、私が起きてまた一日過ごして寝て、あんまりこういうことを、意識してないかもしれないけれども、イエス様が私たちを導いてくれているから、この今年こういうことも考えたいと思います。
So the star led the wise men to Jesus, and we just finished saying that Jesus is the guiding star, the bright morning star that guides us. So my question to you is, where is our star leading us? What kind of people is he leading us to become? To whom and where is he guiding us to serve and to be that people? We often wake up, go through our day, and go to sleep and never think about this. But I believe that God, that through Jesus, is guiding us. So where is our star leading us? That's an individual question. That's also a community-wide thing. I don't want you to just think about this for your personal faith. I do want you to think about that. But not just a personal faith. I want you to think about our community, our church as a general. Where is Jesus leading us? And how are you in this year going to be a part of helping to follow Jesus, helping the community to follow where Jesus is leading us? これはとても重要なことだと思います。何人かの博士たち 一生懸命勉強していて偉い王様が長い旅をしてみんなが全然知らない子の元に来てそして彼らがひれ伏して一番へりくだっている ここでひれ伏してイエス様を拝みました私たちの人生でもそれをやるために何が邪魔になっているかただ義務があるから神様を礼拝するだけじゃなくてこの御言葉をよく見ると彼らがイエス様を見たら喜びが溢れていたなので私たちも本当に心から溢れていてイエス様を礼拝することがどういうふうにできますかそのことも今年一緒に家族として考えたいと思います So another question as a family that I want to think about is the wise men. You have this group of men who were well-studied, wealthy, respected, powerful men. And they go to the boondocks of nowhere, to some little, probably, you know, snot running down his nose kid. Little child. And it says, not only did they get on their knees, but they bowed down and they worshiped him. They were so moved by this child that they literally take the most humble position and they bow down and worship him. And not only do they bow down and worship him, but it says when they saw that baby, they were filled with joy. And that joy motivated them to worship the king. So what in your life and what in our lives as a church is getting in the way of us being like the wise men? Please think about that this year. Finally, I'll say this in English and then close in Japanese. What gifts do you have? What gifts has God given to you to bring before the King and bless other people, not bless yourself? How can you look at the other people in this church as people in need? How can you look at the people in your family, the people in your workplace as people who are in need? How about the people in this city? How about the people in this world? And what gifts can you bring and lay down before Jesus to bless those people? I'd like you to think about that. 最後に、私たちがイエス様からいただいている賜物、できるもの、興味があるもの、強みがあること、私たちの性格の中に、私たちの人生に与えている、お金でもあるし、家もあるし、車もあるし、仕事もある。その 神様からいただいているものをどういうふうに他の必要とする人に与えることができますか。博士たちがその立派な贈り物をイエス様に捧げたように、私たちがどういうふうに他の人を祝福するために神様に捧げられますか。それは教会の中の必要とする人もいるし、私たちの家族の中にそういう人はいると思います。働いている人はその職場の人もいると思う。近所の方もいるかもしれない。水戸市内の方、また世界中でどういうふうに自分がいただいているものを神様のために与えられますか。この4つの質問を今年かけて教会としてまた一人一人で考えたいと思います。 I'd like you to think about these four questions over this next year and challenge your faith. Think about it for the church and think about it for yourselves over this next year. Let's pray. 神様、お博士たちを通してイエス様は実際にこの世のすべて、また私たち一人一人を救い出すために生きている顔を表していて、また私たちがその話を聞いて私たちに教えてくれてありがとうございます。どうか私たちがこれをいい話として、ただそこまで考えるだけじゃなくて、実際に私たち一人一人、また教会として私たちの信仰生活にかける学びができますように。 We thank you for this story which reveals the Christ in this world, the Christ that has been born to be the hope and the salvationfor each one of us and for the entire world. Thank you for giving us the blessing to be able to hear this story and to know its truth. Thank you for revealing Christ to us. And as individual disciples and also as an entire church family, we pray that you would help us to be inspiredby this story as we think about this next year. Think about how we can grow, how we can serve, how we can give, how we can not be paralyzed by fear. Yes, and I'm going to do this. Amen.